Thank you for being a part of worship on Resurrection Day here at Flint River. And because he's alive, it proves there is eternal life, just like he said it was. As we commit our lives to him, he promises us eternal life. And you can't separate the crucifixion from the resurrection. We're going to take a little different approach this morning because probably everyone in here, you know the story, right? I mean, you've heard it. It doesn't matter how many times, but you could do a pretty good job of retelling the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. So we're going to come at it from a little bit different angle. Let me give you an illustration. Now, if you remember this, I just want you to know, you're old, okay? How many of you remember a daytime variety show in the 50s? Oh, we are reaching way back, called House Party with Art Linkletter. Do you remember that? A few oldies in here do. Man, one of the best parts of his show was at the very end, he would always interview four kids. I mean, kids sometimes 4 years old, sometimes a little bit older. And he would ask them questions about their parents. And, you know, their answers are hilarious. And I want you to know, it's the same questions that Dustin are asking your kids this morning. Right? Just to see. No, that's not true. But the funniest thing was Art Linkletter was a strong believer. And so it was Easter time back in the late 50s, and he was asking the kids, what is your favorite part of Easter? Well, the first little boy said, we get to dye Easter eggs and all the candy and we have Easter egg hunts. And okay, all right, that's a lot of fun, isn't it? Yeah. The next one was a little girl. What's your favorite part of Easter? And she said, we get to get new clothes, and she was just showing off her pretty dress to everybody. And he said, is that one of your Easter dresses? Yes. And so he comes to this next little boy, and he said, what's your favorite part of Easter? He says, celebrating Jesus. And Linkletter's eyes got as big as dinner plates. I mean, they were huge because that's what he really wanted to hear. He said, really? Tell me about that. He said, yes, sir. It's about Jesus dying on the cross. And then when he died, they buried him in this man's cave. And on the third day, it was resurrection. And Art Linkletter was saying, yes, yes. And then what happened? And he said, the stone rolled away. Yeah? And when he came out, if he saw his shadow, he had to go back inside for 6 more weeks. Well, I hope you know the story a little bit better than that. But we're going to talk today about how inseparable the crucifixion is from the resurrection. You cannot have one without the other, and it mean anything. If he was crucified on the cross, like Scripture tells us, but he was never resurrected, then he would have been remembered as a good teacher, a kind man, a good speaker maybe, but he wouldn't have been the Messiah. But now think about this. What if instead of being crucified by the Romans, what if, let's make something up. What if he fell off one of the fishing boats in the Sea of Galilee and drowned? But then when they buried him, he rose from the dead. Well, that would be meaningless because everything that he said about, pardon me for my voice this morning. It's like puberty again, right? Everything he said about my life and how I'm going to be crucified by the Romans would be a lie. And if it's a lie, then he couldn't be God. So they are inseparable, right? You can't have one without the other. And so today, I want to take you, we're not going to talk about the story. because you know the story, right? Most of you could retell it up here and do a really good job if you had to. I don't want to talk to you about the what. I want to talk to you about the why. And for some of you, this may be a little bit different angle. But for those of you who have never given your life to Christ, maybe it's this angle that will open your eyes. And more than opening your eyes, maybe it's this new angle to think about it that will open your heart. And you will say, God, I give you my life. Why did the crucifixion have to happen just like God said that it would? I mean, what's the big deal? Why was it such a big deal? Well, let's go back to Genesis just real quick and set the stage. When God created the universe, God created our world, God began to form our world and create everything that we have, and then He fashioned man and woman. And there in that perfect environment, in that Garden of Eden, He gave them, you are free. He didn't make them puppets, and He didn't make them little robots, but He made them with the freedom of choice. You are free to make your own choices and your own decisions, but I want to ask you one thing. There's one tree right there that I'm asking you, do not eat off of that tree. Because the moment you eat, you'll die. And so then, all of a sudden, all the focus became on man. Was man going to obey God? Or was man going to say, I'll take my own chances. I'll make my own decisions. I'll make my own choices. But everything was all on man. What was he going to do? Would he obey God? Or would he say, you know what? I want to live my own life. And you know the story. Man chose to disobey God. And at some point, whether it was a week, a month, or a year later, he and the woman, Adam and Eve, chose to disobey, and they ate the fruit off of that tree. And instantly, God did to them what He promised that He would. Instantly, that perfect relationship that God had created with them was broken. And He said, because your relationship with me is broken because of this sin, this disobedience that you have chosen over me. And that sin became part of their very human nature, right? And it was passed down from generation to generation to generation. But it's our nature to disobey. It's our nature to choose evil over good. Right? That's why we have to work so hard when we have small children and teach them to obey. Teach them not to lie. Teach them to be kind. All those good qualities, because by nature, every one of us has that sin nature. I don't know how it was with your children. I can tell you about our three girls at the Bell Home for Women. I mean, we didn't have classes on how to disobey. We didn't have classes on how to say ugly words and mistreat mom and dad. And no, because it came so what? Natural. It's part of our human nature. And Paul later wrote in Scripture, Paul said it this way. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means everybody. Everybody who has ever lived in all of human history. Everybody in every continent. Everybody in every decade, every generation. Everybody was conceived as a sinner with a broken relationship with God. And we say, well, I can get that. Yeah, I've been around little kids, and I understand. Yeah, they are as cute as she is. How old is she? Say it again. 12 days old. On three. One, two, three. Oh, and if you hadn't seen her, she's a doll, right? But even at 12 days old, you know what? She's already a sinner. She was conceived a sinner. And we'll admit that, and we don't have that much problem. We can understand that. What we don't understand a lot of times is, what does that mean? Because I'm a sinner, so what? So what if I don't tell the truth all the time? So what if my desire is all about me? I'm so selfish and self-centered. I just don't understand what the big deal is. God said it this way in Isaiah, in the Old Testament. Isaiah said this in chapter 59, verse 2. He said, "But your sin has separated you from God, and your iniquities," another word for sin, "your iniquities have separated from you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." Do you understand that? Let me tell you what that means. That means that that relationship is gone. There's no way that you can have a personal relationship with Almighty God because of the sin that we were born with. Not only can we not have a personal relationship, but there's no way that we'll ever be able to spend eternity in heaven with God. There's no way that any person on this earth can ever have a home in heaven because of our sin. That's a big deal. And I'm going to tell you what, if the Bible stopped right there, then you and I have absolutely no hope whatsoever. We might as live as wild as we can, have as much fun as we can, do whatever we want. Because if that were the end, then we're going to die and go to hell regardless. You might as well have a good life. But that's not the end. And the big deal about the crucifixion is what the crucifixion means to you and to me. And I want us to look at the crucifixion today through the nature of God, through God's eyes, through who He is. The resurrection had to happen exactly like it did for a number of reasons. Now, I just want to take the nature of God this morning and let's look at it from three different angles. All right? Here it is. This is the nature of God. And this is just scratching the surface of who God is. But the nature of God is this. God is holy. You know, He tells us we need to be holy because He is holy. Holy means righteous. Holy means pure. Holy means sinless. There was never any sin in Almighty God. He didn't have the ability to sin because He was a holy God. God is a holy God. And what separates us from a holy God is that sin that we were born with, that sin nature. And so the holiness of God, our sin does not allow a holy God to allow us to exist in His presence. His holiness won't allow that. His holiness separates us from God because we are sinners and He is totally pure. That makes every one of us guilty. That makes every one of us have no hope whatsoever. There is no hope. Doesn't end there, because the nature of God goes further. God's holiness separates us from God. Let's come from a little bit different angle. God is a just God. The justice of God says this: He has to punish sin, every sin. You know, we like to classify sins as, oh, this was a big one and that one was a little one. You know, like murder, oh, that's a biggie. But you know what? Just telling a little white lie, I mean, you know, that's not as bad. You know, so we like to kind of categorize sins as big and little, and this one counts and that one doesn't. The justice of Almighty God says it doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how serious it is. It's a sin that separates you from me, and it's a sin that I have to punish. If God let one of our sins go unpunished, He couldn't be God because He wouldn't be just. He would no longer be just. That means this. You know, all those times when you were growing up and you were doing something out with your friends on the weekend and you were praying as hard as you could that mama wouldn't find out where you were and what you were doing? Now everybody's real quiet because we're all guilty. We've all prayed that prayer, right? Oh Lord, don't let her know where I am right now or what I'm doing. You know what? Just because mama didn't find out, she didn't hold you accountable. But you never get away with anything with God. It will always cost you to disobey God. God's holiness separates us from God. The justice of God says, I have to punish you. I love you, but I have to punish you. And sin is punishable by death. I have to send you to hell. The wages of sin is what? Death. Look at that one verse, all right? The wages. What are wages? It's your paycheck. It's what you've earned for what you've done that week of work or that month of work or whatever your pay period is, right? So you've worked hard and you've earned it. You deserve your wages, right? And so that's what this says. The wages of sin, what you deserve and what I deserve, what we've earned because we're sinners, the wages of sin is what? Death. Not dying of a heart attack or in a car wreck or of a stroke or COVID or whatever the case may be. This word death is the word for spiritual death. The wages of sin, what I deserve, what I've got coming to me because I'm a sinner is not just physical death, but it's spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. Can you understand that? God says, because you're a sinner, you deserve to die and spend an eternity separated from me in the most horrible place that's ever been created. I mean, it wasn't created for man. It was created for Satan and for the angels that followed Satan and that left being angels and they became followers, demons, right? That's who hell was created for. Not people, but because we're sinners and God has to judge our sins, the only way to do that, the wages of sin, is death. Now that's just part of God's nature. Hang with me. The holiness of God separates us. The justice of God demands that He punish us. But the love of God, you can't discount the fact that God is love. If your family was church going and maybe you grew up in church as a little kid, that might have been one of the first verses you ever memorized over in the nursery, in the preschool area. God is love. Absolutely. And the love of God doesn't mean that you get to get away with your sin. The love of God doesn't say, oh, come on, you're such a nice mom, you're such a great dad, you've got a great job, you provide so well for your family, come on in, I want you to be a part of heaven anyway. No, love said this, my holiness, we're separated. My justice, I've got to punish you. But here is a way that you can be forgiven. Let me give you an option. Let me give you a choice. Let me make available for you forgiveness. Let me make available for you a new life. Let me make, not automatic, but available for you. Remember this, one of the songs we sang? Jesus changed my life, a brand new life. That's the love of God. And the love of God created a way for us to be forgiven. Jesus said, you know what? The punishment has all for sin has always been, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, the punishment for sin was a life for a life, the innocent dying for the guilty. And remember, when they chose to disobey God, God didn't squish them like a bug, but he came down and he showed them how to sacrifice a lamb that would forgive their sins, would excuse, would grant them that forgiveness that they needed, right? And that sacrificial system would continue all through the Old Testament. And God said in Genesis, I want you to continue sacrificing like this. One day, I'm going to send a Messiah. One day, I'm going to send a deliverer to you. And you won't be sacrificing bulls and sheep and goats and pigeons and the other animals that were prescribed in here. But the Messiah would be human. It would be sinless, and it would take your place. It would be your substitute. And that's what Jesus said, you know what? I'm willing to do that for you. Look what Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, But God proved, if you want to use some synonyms, but God demonstrated his love toward us because his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his love. He was sinless, and he says, I want to be your substitute. I'm coming to be your Messiah because I am every qualification that the Scripture says. I am holy, I'm righteous, I'm sinless, because that's why God stepped off the throne of heaven. He says, you know what? As God, I don't have the ability to die for man. I'm a spirit being, and I don't have blood in my body, and I can't shed my blood, and I can't die on that cross. But if I take my godhood and combine that with the humanity of man and become this being that is all God and all man, all at the same time, then Almighty God has the ability to shed his blood and die for us. Isn't that what the crucifixion was all about? And he says, you know what? I will be your substitute. I will die in your place and make forgiveness available to you. Go back to a verse that we read a while ago. We read the first half of Romans 6:23 about the wages of sin is death. The last part of that verse says, but, doesn't end there. But, I got good news. But, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is forgiveness. The gift of God is a personal relationship with Almighty God. The gift of God is a brand new life, a brand new heart, a heart that wants to love him, worship him, serve him for the rest of our life. And it comes to us as a gift, right? You can't buy it. I don't care how much money you make or I don't care how big your retirement account is, you can't buy forgiveness from God. It's a gift. I don't care what kind of job you have. I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you have. It does not matter. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't be good enough that God says, you know what? I will forgive you anyway. But he said, here's a way. And I want to give you a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And that's what resurrection morning is all about. Had he not risen from the dead, he couldn't offer you forgiveness. If he had not come alive on that resurrection morning, we would have no hope because there would be no such thing as eternal life. But he did. He's alive. He's alive that morning, and he's alive today. And he is offering you a gift. Won't you take it? Come on. What are you waiting on? Don't you want it? Don't you want to be forgiven? Don't you want a home in heaven? Don't you want a new heart? You don't want to really die and spend eternity separated from God. No, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. And some of you are saying this morning, Pastor, that's exactly what I want. Wow, I never looked at it from those angles before. But now I understand that I need forgiveness. I need to have that new life. How do I get that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you just real quick. John 1:12 says it this way. He says, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God that believed on his name. Believed. If you've been worshiping with us for the last several weeks, there's our word again. That word believe is a surrender. It's a commitment of my life. It's not just saying, okay, give me some kind of prayer to pray so that I can go to heaven and I'm going to keep living my own life. No, no, no. That word believe says, God, I give you my life. God, I surrender my life to you. I want you to change my life, and I want you to make me your child, and I want to love you, I want to serve you, I want to be more like you so that I can spend the rest of my life in heaven with you. It's all about surrender. It's all about wanting that forgiveness. But before you want it, you got to understand that you need it, and we need it because of his holiness and his justice. Let me ask you a question this morning, folks. What are you waiting on? Don't you want to know that you have a brand new life? That your eternity is in heaven with him if you would just surrender your life to Jesus? Let me close with a question mark. Now I want you to take this in to the depths of your heart. Listen to me. Everybody in this room, everybody in our town, county, in the world, everybody is going to live forever somewhere. I mean, when God created us, he created us a physical being with a spiritual part to us, a spiritual dimension. And the spiritual nature in us will live forever somewhere. When you die, they don't just put you in a box and put you in the ground. You will be instantly alive, either in heaven with him or in hell, separated forever from Jesus, from your friends, from your family. Your eternity is settled. Everybody is going to live forever somewhere. The rest of that question is this. When you die, where is that going to be for you? I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. You can only answer in your heart. Have you given your life to Jesus? And the proof of that is He has changed my life. I'm a different person. And you can watch me. You can listen to me. You can go through my life with a fine-tooth comb. And you will say, this guy or this lady or this student is in love with Jesus. You can tell by the way they talk. You can tell by their relationships. You can tell by the life they live. Every part of their life screams a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you given Him your life? And if you haven't, let me beg you, today needs to be the day. Don't put it off. Don't wait till later. I'm begging you, I'm inviting you, won't you give your life to Jesus right now? Let's pray together. Father, that's my prayer for everyone in this auditorium this morning. Lord, You tell us that You love us, and You created that way that we could be forgiven. God, You said that You were willing to be our sacrifice and be our substitute. And You went to the cross for us so that if we would commit our lives to You, if we would surrender our lives to You, we could know You as our personal Savior and personal Lord. And I'm praying right now for everybody that has never made that life-changing surrender, that they're praying in their heart right now, God, I need You. God, would You come and live inside of me? God, would You forgive me of my sins? Would You change my life? I don't ever want to be the same. I want to love You and serve You for the rest of my life. God, I need You right now. Father, I pray all over this auditorium, that prayer is being whispered. In Jesus' name, amen.